Hello and welcome to another week of the Locker Room here on Indie Live Radio on a Friday night. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host. Well, it says it here anyway, Matthew Lingard. Hi, Matthew.
The one and only. How's things, everybody?
I am the one and only. Oh no, we've
Who's that?
actually
Is that Chesney Hawks?
Chesney Hawks, yeah. Back in the day. How's it going?
All right. Same old. Watching international football. So, after last week, I'm ready for the real stuff now this weekend.
Yeah, just to speak about the international football, that was a dire game from Scotland, especially Monday night as well.
Oh God! I mean, it didn't start off too promising. I think on was it Friday night last week? I was bigging up Scotland, and we were talking about how good their squad was and everything. And do you know what? Like on paper, Scotland do have a good squad, but we should have known better, Michael. Why did we big up Scotland?
I know. Maybe if they said Scotland
Honestly.
were rubbish, maybe they would get one. I'm not actually sure, but there you go. But yeah, you were
Oh,
saying that
honest.
the real football is back this weekend, and also got to speak about the Aberdeen Ross County games in a minute because the fans are got to get back into to the skigging, but. Before we get into that, I've got a wee moan here, or one or two, about the Scottish football not being on Sky this weekend because the Premiership's back.
Yeah, I mean it's just one of these scenarios. I think the Premiership's back this weekend, and I think we touched on it last week that even though the TV fixtures weren't put in concrete last week, there was a hint last week that the Scottish football was going to be sort of, to use a Scottish word, dinged for English football, and that's turned out to be true. I think what I've heard is that Sky obviously did ask Scottish football to have two games on this weekend, I think, or this week. I think the Celtic Ross County game and the Celtic St Mirren games were asked to be shown on Sky, but the Ross County Celtic game, I think the request was that the game be shown on Sunday at 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, at the time when this was asked, obviously Celtic were still in the Champions League contention, and Celtic, rightly so, because the game was obviously going to be on a Tuesday, Celtic rightly said, no, look, we can't have it. And because of that, Sky have basically said, well, no, we're going to have the English football and there'll be no Scottish games this week. And obviously, there's no games on Wednesday because I think Sky have already said that they're going to show the English League Cup, which is starting this week. So this week, sadly, there'll be no Scottish football on our televisions. Now, normally, if you could go to the games, I wouldn't be too bothered about it because obviously Saturday at 3 o'clock is our normal time for going to games, and I would rather every game was on at Saturday at 3 o'clock while we could all get into the stadiums. But when obviously COVID's here, it's a bit different and people can't get to the stadiums, and this is going to have a knock-on effect for people's pockets if they do want to see the games.
And I think as well it's a bit disappointing, Matthew, right? Because it's been nice to see Scottish football being on at 5 o'clock, 5:30, and all that, taking, you would say, prime time TV. But what I was saying to you before we came on air tonight, I was saying to you about Scottish football will be shoved in at 12 o'clock and 12:30 on the Saturday. For the away games, I don't mean the home games. The home games are fine because they're on the Celtic game and all that channels like Rings TV as well. But the away game will be shoved in early on or late on in the Sunday night because the big fancy leagues back in England, and we've all got to bow down to them in a way. I don't think it's right.
No, I mean, like I said, I think in normal circumstances, I think it would be great to have a Saturday at 3 o'clock kickoff, and we could all go to the games, and it's back to normal for the fans who attend the games. But obviously, at the moment, it's a big hit for people because not only have they paid their Sky subscription and they paid their, well, for other games, BT and Premier Sports, but this one's obviously Sky. They paid their Sky subscription, which isn't cheap, to watch Celtic away, which they normally do. Many of them have paid their season tickets to watch them only via the internet. And this seems like a kick in the teeth, really, for people because I think you were saying it was £15. If you do want to watch the game, you can watch it on Ross County pay-per-view. But that's £15 that a lot of people don't have at the moment to watch one single match when they're paying for everything else. So again, you know, Scottish football fans are left, like you say, bottom place. But financially, everybody's going to be worse off because if you really do want to see it, £15 is a lot of money just for one game to watch on an internet feed.
Exactly. I mean, that's what price you would pay to go to a game anyway, about £15, you know, or maybe more because it's old story, Matthew. When the old firm comes to town, they always add on a couple more pounds to the ticket, say £23, because that they'll get the fans at the game.
Oh, definitely. And we all as football fans pay it. You know, if your team's on and you support a big team, and you know your team is playing on a situation like this, you know Ross County will charge the £15, and they will probably get a very healthy profit from it. But you know, maybe sometimes supporters should vote with their feet and say, you know, enough's enough. We've all paid our season ticket money. You know, from anything from 300 up to over £1,000 for season tickets. We've all paid our TV money to watch the games when they've been on Sky. You know, maybe, sometimes you just have to say, you know, enough's enough, and £15 to me seems too much to watch a game on an internet feed. And Sky, you know, like you said, they've just done the dirty on Scottish football by putting us in last place again. So
yeah,
you know, it's really frustrating. And with the COVID situation, you know, a lot of fans don't have the money to be able to splash out for these sorts of things. So a bit of understanding, I think, would be best called for, and it just doesn't seem to have happened here.
Yeah, and it says to me as well, Scottish football's always, we know that we're not the best league in the world, right? If you support our team in the league, you think, oh wow, this is, you know, Scottish football's brilliant. But it says to me though, Scottish football's came out second best to us. Well, not second best kid, but second worst, if that's a kind of like phrase that you would use, you know. But I mean, if this was English football not playing, not getting shown on Sky TV because Sky's is not, we're covering Scottish football because Scottish football's back, there would be an uproar about it, you know.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because, I mean, I'm not 110% sure what games are getting shown this weekend, but I know Leeds is one of them. But if you've got teams like Fulham, West Brom, Crystal Palace, Brighton, Burnley, Sheffield United, West Ham, Leeds, etc., Southampton even, maybe all the way even up to the sort of top teams like maybe Wolverhampton, Everton, people like that, you know, it's pretty short-sighted and frustrating for Sky because, you know, Celtic and Rangers are probably one of, if not the biggest draw in these islands. You know, so I know English football fans tend to slag off Scottish football's quality, but from a support and draw power point of view, maybe only, you know, your Liverpools and your Manchester United, maybe only those two clubs on paper could compete with Celtic and Rangers for support or draw power. Now, I know Manchester United aren't playing this weekend, and Liverpool are playing Leeds, I think, so that's one of them out of the way. So apart from that, the Celtic game probably would be the second biggest draw this weekend after the Liverpool game, and Sky haven't shown it. That's unbelievable, you know. And I know, yeah, like you say, you know, Scottish football is not the best and blah blah blah, but how many Celtic fans would be watching it this weekend over, say, watching an Everton or a Wolves or a Leicester or Southampton? More Celtic fans would be watching this on Sky. You know,
you're right, and most of the games that we watch down south are pretty, you would say, pretty boring to watch. And I'm not,
and especially because No, you're not. And do you know, it's accurate, because at the end of the day as well, there's not been many friendlies leading up to the start of the Premier League. A lot of these teams will be coming in nearly cold turkey. And you saw what happened when the Premier League returned in, oh God, when did they return now? Was it June time? It seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, but about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, finished. But when it returned after COVID initially, the quality, it took 2 or 3 weeks for the quality to get up to normal again. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again this time around. Mm-hmm. But so not only will their quality not be as good as it eventually will get to, but like I said, you know, Celtic are a bigger draw than every team in the Premier League, bar probably Liverpool and Man United. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a frustrating thing for everybody. But like you say, again, Sky have voted with their feet and decided to put Scottish football last in their priorities. And then it's up to us to whether we want to pay for it or not afterwards. And sadly, we all will.
And I mean, it's disappointing in a way, Matthew, because the Sky game would be the Ross County Celtic game, and there's fans getting let into that game this weekend. So it would be nice to see some people at the game instead of nobody there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really good, I think, to have some fans in the stadium. You know, I mean, obviously this kind of leads on to, you know, the debate on whether fans, I mean, it's been a bit of a mixed week in regards to supporters coming into the stadium, because obviously, like you say, the test events this weekend are Aberdeen, Kilmarnock and Ross County and Celtic, and they will go ahead. But obviously, I think on the other hand, Nicola Sturgeon has delayed the overall return of fans generally into stadiums until the 5th of October at the earliest. So it's one of those ones where we're all looking forward to this weekend, but it looks like the general return of fans will be delayed, and any possible pilots will be judged on a case-to-case basis. But, you know, Renfrewshire, Glasgow, the whole of West of Scotland really will be struggling for these test events because of the lockdown that's currently in place.
Yeah, because one of the games was meant to be at Ibrox tomorrow, but obviously Glasgow is in a kind of semi-lockdown at the moment, so they can't have fans along at the Rangers Dundee United game.
Yeah, that's frustrating, you know, and I think obviously the test events are good in the smaller stadiums, and that's the way it is, but you know, it'd be good to have a test event at a big stadium like Ibrox or, you know, a Celtic Park, because ultimately that's the ones we're kind of looking forward to, because, you know, if for example if the Ibrox one worked, then you're looking at, you know, the Celtic Rangers game is coming up on the 17th of October, and I think that's the one that we're all kind of, you know, looking forward to a little bit and seeing how it goes. But you know, it's a bit annoying. I know the health has to come first, and that's fine. But from a sports show point of view, you know, it's a bit sad, because I think the hope was that, you know, we would be back in stadiums for the Celtic Rangers game at Celtic Park, and I think now that's looking quite unlikely to happen now, given that, you know, the date's the 5th of October at the earliest for people getting into stadiums as a general. So I don't know how that will affect the Celtic Rangers game, but it's sad because that's our flagship game. That's the one game that Sky wouldn't be punting away.
No.
And it'll be played with minimal fans.
Yeah. I mean, the ideal scenario, Matthew, is the fans would get left for Skagen anyway, but the ideal situation would be for the Scotland game last week at Hampden, because obviously that's a big Skagen.
Yeah, I mean that game I think was originally sort of half penciled in for a chance to be a test event, and I think definitely for the, you know, the Israel game and the Euro 2021 playoff game, I think that was a givey for having supporters in the stadium. But now, because of that date, the 5th of October, that's looking very unlikely. Mind you, going on the Israel game, maybe last week, maybe people wouldn't have come. Even the 300 wouldn't have bothered to turn up at Hampden after last week. But you're right, that would have been one of the big test events in a big stadium. And that now doesn't look like it's going to happen. But, you know, we are where we are. COVID's kind of making a bit of a return, sadly. And, you know, these test events and generally fans getting in are making a bit of a, you know, are going down the pecking order of importance, and rightly so. But it is devastating. Because hopefully this week I was thinking, you know, the 300 fans, how exciting is it going to be for them to get into stadiums this weekend? It's going to be quite exciting. It'll be like kids at Christmas sort of stuff again.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and Sky's must a click there, but anyway, so let's look at the other games. So Aberdeen, as Matthew was saying, it's a test event, play Kilmarnock. That should be not a bad game, that one. Livingston and Hamilton, Motherwell and St Johnson, Rangers and Dundee United. News about that in a minute, because I've just seen that Joe Aribo will be out for 6 months. 6 weeks, sorry. Ross County Celtic.
6 months. All the Rangers fans have just dropped dead.
Yeah.
When you said yeah. 6 months.
Exactly. Ross County Celtic that we spoke about in St Mirren and Hibs. Now, we are obviously we're going to point out that this show isn't live. The show is recorded, so up till now this game will be played, but the decision will be taken this afternoon, I think, so the game might be off. We're not 100% sure yet, but yeah, Joe Aribo is to miss four to six weeks with an ankle injury, so that's a bit of a blow to the Rangers fans.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, he's obviously one of the cogs in midfield, and you know they're worried possibly not for the next few weeks, because I think Rangers can probably cope with his loss for the next wee while. But obviously that date of the 17th of October when Rangers travel to Celtic Park in what will be the game of the season so far. That'll be the worry, to try and get him up to match speed for that one. And if they don't, it will be a big loss, because they can do with him, especially in the battle of midfield, because it's a close run thing. And, you know, with Celtic and Rangers, whoever wins the midfield battle tends to win the game.
Mm.
So without him, I think it'll be a tough battle for them. So that will be, I think, the worry for Gerrard, in that, you know, they'll be hoping to try and get him back for the 17th of October. But also there was news with Rangers this week, because Gerrard's won Manager of the Month, and I think Kent has won Player of the Month. So a lot of things have been quite positive coming out of Ibrox, and obviously they're top of the league, so things have been going well there. This is the first real bit of negativity that's come out of there, along with obviously Morelos, but we've not really heard much of that since then.
No, it's all been a bit quiet in that kind of front.
Yeah, I think now, you know, well, he's kind of, to me, he's geared up for the move. I think it's just whether, you know, clubs can meet the valuation. But I think for Rangers' point of view, you know, they have to work out, you know, whether they want a player on their books that clearly doesn't want to be there. But also, if they're not going to play him in their first choice, his value is going to naturally drop throughout the course of the season anyway. So it's just whether they want to cash in now for what they can get with him, or whether they want to try and play hardball. But it's a dangerous game with Morelos, because he is a top talent and they do want to cash in for him. It's just how they do that at this point.
I guess a quick word on Damien Duff.
What would you like to talk about?
Shane Duffy, sorry.
Yeah. I thought I'd miss that. Damien Duff. What's he done? He's not played a lot of football over the last 12 months. He's another a Yeti sort of situation. I mean, he hasn't played a lot of football at Brighton over the last season. And, he played all right for Ireland this last week. He scored a goal, although he did, I think, the goal Ireland conceded on the Friday, or I think it was his fault, really.
Yeah.
I don't think he's up to full speed yet as such. And it's a bit unfair, really, to mark his cards based on those two performances. However, he didn't do too badly overall. I mean, he maybe got pass marks just about, but that's two games under his belt already. for Ireland before we even start. And I think you know, when Celtic go up to Ross County, it'll be interesting, the team selection, because now with Duffy, Shane Duffy, I think, God, you've got me thinking now names, making sure, I think if he starts, then, you know, I would imagine Celtic will have went to a back three with wing-backs, and I'd imagine that will mean that they'll have two strikers up top, which is kind of the formation Lennon wants to play. And like I said, I think Duffy's probably ready for it. The more game time I think he gets, the better. But I think we'll see him in the centre of defence. My guess would be you'll see him in the centre of defence tomorrow. And I think you'll see Ayeti up front, alongside Edward. And I think that's kind of Celtic's main team for the coming season. I think we'll see tomorrow. So it'll be good to see finally, because we've been wanting that for a while, to see Celtic get their best formation and their best team, and I think we might see it tomorrow.
And I think, just to clarify, for all the doubters over there, Damien Duff has not came at Celtic. He was at Celtic last year as an assistant manager, but now he's at the Republic of Ireland. So, yeah, that was one of these boo moments on the show. Let's move on there, because that was actually quite funny, I thought. And then it was more funny because Matthew was at that. Yeah, so what do you want to speak about? Yeah, so that was quite funny. Well done, Matthew. Well done.
Well, Michael, do you know what? I just thought, you never spoke to me about this in the planning meeting. You've just chucked this at me. What is it?
I never spoke to myself about it in the meeting. Never mind you, but at least we get that sorted out.
Was this in the Indie Live test?
Indie Live exclusive. Yeah, it's coming to Celtic at Christmas. No, it's
to play,
not
to play centre back.
Yeah, exactly. So don't email me in, but you can do email us in at
at Damien Duff at
it's the locker room indielive@gmail.com. That's the locker room indielive@gmail.com. You're listening to The Locker Room on a Friday with Michael and Matthew. We're speaking about the football this weekend. Let's move on to speak about rugby now. But believe it or not, Scotland will be playing in the Ockham Test. I don't know if you saw this one, Matthew. They're in the same group as Wales, Ireland, Fiji, Georgia, and England.
Well, there's a few good games, I think, the dates. Yeah. I mean, again, you were talking about the fans getting in the ground. I mean, I think the SRU, the hope is that they'll be able to get fans in the stadium by this date. But, I mean, as you know, you just anything could happen between now and November. But I think at the end of October, they've got the end of the Six Nations from this year to complete. And then, like you say, the Autumn Nations is coming. I think the first game Scotland have is away in Italy around the 14th of November. And then our first home game is at home to France on the 22nd of November, which originally was the weekend that the Scotland were due to play New Zealand in the Autumn Tests. So that was going to be probably one of our biggest games of the year against the All Blacks. But, you know, now it's Scotland against France, and then the next week Scotland against Fiji. So, I mean, on paper, these tournaments are good. It's just, I just hope that we're going to have fans in by then to be able to watch them, because obviously on paper they look quite good. But yeah, it's exciting, I think, to see, because Scotland, I mean, aren't doing too badly. I did this last week. Maybe I should be quiet, Michael, actually. But I'm going to big up Scotland. We had a good Six Nations campaign. We've got a good squad and we're going to get hammered. But I think, on paper we look good. And I think, you know, Scotland against Italy, on paper we should beat Italy. We should beat Fiji. And then obviously Scotland-France on the 22nd of November at Murrayfield has the potential to be an absolute cracker. So it's quite exciting. And if this goes well, it might be a format for the future. You know, instead of playing autumn tests, we have these sort of Six Nations-esque style of fixtures, but obviously with teams around the globe, and it could be exciting.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good to see sport coming back in rugby as well, and all that. So that's quite good to see. So,
okay. And you know what? It was just a shame because I know we did our usual. I think last week every time we talk about a side in positive terms, that side gets beat. And then, you know, we were talking about Edinburgh last week and how well Edinburgh were doing, and how positive it was to have a side that was up there challenging for the Guinness Pro 14. And then you can guess what happened. I don't know if you've seen what happened, but they played Ulster in the semi-final.
Right, and they duly went on to lose. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they got beat. Do you know, it was one of those ties though. Like, I watched it and they played well. First half, they were winning 5-0. They got a try. But Ulster managed to recover from being 12 points down. Edinburgh were 12 points clear at one point. And Ulster sadly recovered and knocked Edinburgh out. And would you believe it? I think the game came the last few seconds. And it was an Ian Madigan 80th minute penalty, the last kick of the game, that basically sent Ulster through to the final. Yeah, so it was devastating for Edinburgh because they'd played so well up to that point, and Ulster for the last 15 minutes just turned on the burners a little bit. And yeah, it was a last minute penalty from quite far out. Like, it was, I can't remember how many yards exactly, but it wasn't at the easiest of penalties. But he converted it with the last kick, and now they are through to play Dublin at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday there. So it was devastating for Edinburgh. But on the other hand, you know, Richard Cockerill was actually given Pro 14 Coach of the Year, and Van der Merwe, who was Edinburgh's winger, was given Players Player of the Season. So it just shows you how well Edinburgh actually did do to get Manager of the Year and Player of the Year. But it was just a sad ending to it at Murrayfield on Saturday night there. And yeah, it's Ulster against Leinster at the Aviva Stadium this weekend, if anyone's wanting to watch the Pro 14 final.
And is that on the TV? Yeah.
That's on, I think, in Scotland. If anyone's listening to this in Ireland, it's on TG Cahir, and it's on Air Sports. And I think if you're in Northern Ireland or you're in Scotland, it's on Premier Sports.
Right, okay, that's good. Yeah, we'll look out for the Scotland games coming up in a few months' time. Let's move on to, well, going over to America now, Matthew. No, we're not, because we can't. But let's just imagine that we're going over to America. And you were up very, very late last night. I'm surprised that you've turned up to do the show.
Would I miss it, Michael? Would I?
Yes, I think you would.
I was watching it with Damien Duff last night.
You were probably Damien Duff last night. Oh, sorry, just ignore that one. Okay.
Where did I go from here? I can't concentrate. Right. Oh, honestly. Well, yeah, I was up late last night watching the NFL, so I think it finished about 5 o'clock this morning. So it was just one of those nights, but it was opening game of the NFL calendar, and the Kansas City Chiefs were playing Houston Texans last night, and the Kansas City Chiefs won. They opened their Super Bowl defence quite emphatically, really. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was brilliant again. Hill was amazing. Their defence looked solid. So Kansas City didn't really look in trouble last night, and they started their campaign off with a bit of a bang. But this will be quite an interesting season for the NFL, because obviously a few things, the main bulk of the games start on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see how Tom Brady gets on, because he's obviously moved to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after winning 6 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. And he's brought along his tight end Gronkowski with him, which the partnership with the New England Patriots was outstanding. So Tampa Bay obviously have quite a good team offensively on paper. Their defense maybe isn't as good, but offensively they look quite good. The Arizona Cardinals sent David Johnson to Houston Texans last night, and he is a running back. He was probably their man of the match yesterday. But he was traded with DeAndre Hopkins, which is one of the best wide receivers. He went over to Arizona. So Arizona looked quite good on paper. And again, Buffalo Bills have got, you know, I've traded for a few wide receivers like Diggs, for example. So they look quite good on paper, and the Indianapolis Colts look quite good. So there's actually a few teams this year that actually could challenge in the top echelons of the NFL. It's not often you say that, but Kansas City looked brilliant last night, and they look like they'll be the team to beat this year. And I just can't see anybody doing it, even at this early stage, but you just never know. But the interesting thing about last night wasn't even just about the game, it was about the fans. Kansas City had 16,000 fans in Arrowhead last night for their game. So it was quite strange to see, because 16,000 is quite a big number. I know their stadium holds about 70,000, but if you're looking at this as a Celtic and Rangers comparison, their stadium obviously holds a similar amount to Celtic and Rangers, and 16,000 were allowed in there last night. So that shows you that it can be done, and the atmosphere was quite good, and they were quite spaced out quite well. So on paper, and from what I could see on the television, it looked quite good from that point of view. The Miami Dolphins are having 13,000 at their stadium. The Jacksonville Jaguars are having 17,000. And the Indianapolis Colts are letting 2,500 in. So fans are getting back into the NFL in some of the stadiums. However, some of the states aren't allowing that yet. So some of the teams won't have anybody. But like I said, Kansas City, Jacksonville Jaguars, Indianapolis Colts, Kansas City, and the Dallas Cowboys will have fans in this weekend or over this weekend. So the NFL's back, and it was back with a bang.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying for weeks, Matthew, about the fans, that the fans should be allowed back in. And we were watching it without the fans in the stadium, with an empty stadium, whether that could be the NFL, football, tennis, golf, or whatever. But because the fans are coming back into the stadium, it'll be a bit weird to see them back in the stadium.
Do you know what it was? And last night, I tell you what, I mean, Kansas City, I must admit, have got probably, they're kind of like, if you're looking at an English team comparison, like Newcastle United, their fans are just boisterous. You know, they make probably the most noise out of any fans in any of the NFL stadiums. And they only had, like I said, about 16,000 in there last night, but it was a racket. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was actually, you couldn't tell there was only 16,000. It was really, the atmosphere was boisterous. It was helped by the fact that Kansas City looked pretty unstoppable from the first minute, really. I mean, they didn't look like they were in any trouble, I don't think, from losing. But the fans helped that by making a pretty loud noise. And they got off to a decent defence of the Super Bowl. But it was good to see fans. And it just shows you, you know, 16,000 in a 70,000 capacity stadium, you can still make noise. And they showed that really this morning, should I say.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Mav, you're making noise, right? Because I was reading on the website this week about, you know, what fans have to do when they go to the Ross County game, or the Aberdeen game, you've not to make a noise, you've not to sing any songs, you've not to cheer when somebody scores, and the best bit about it was at the end of it, they says, but don't forget your mask. I thought that was like, you know. So what's your point?
Well, see, maybe that's why the game's... Well, maybe that's why they should have had these games on Sky, because when they seem to be on Sky, there doesn't seem to be any goals. So it's probably safer to have it on Sky, just so it's a boring game, nothing happens.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But yeah.
So is that the NFL?
Yeah, what's the point?
Is that the NFL season started now? Yeah.
Yeah, I think this weekend it's on Sky. Sky have the monopoly over it. So this weekend we've got Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing on the Sunday night football. So the Sunday evening football. So that should be a good game, like I say, to see how Tom Brady settles in with his new $500 million deal.
Is that
and
all?
Obviously,
yeah.
Gronkowski's back. Yeah, just that. He's going to struggle a bit, you know. It must be tough going for him. And I think Miami Dolphins are playing this weekend as well against the New England Patriots. So that's an interesting divisional game to watch to start the season as well. And like I said, they'll have fans in. So they'll have fans into the stadium. So it should be quite good. Or is it the Bills they play? It's a divisional game anyway. I think they start the season with, and they'll have fans in the stadium. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes for them. But the season's back. And it's just interesting to see all the coaches with visors on and stuff like that. I mean, the Kansas City, because you know, obviously, American football goes on for hours.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City coach started off with a visor on. And by the end of the game, it was all steamy. I'm surprised he saw anything. He needs window wipers or something like that, you know, just to try and see. He just couldn't see his face. So that might have to be sorted. But it was a decent event to start off the season. And, you know, the only drawback to it, I think there was a few fans, there was a protest before it in regards to equality generally in the United States. And Kansas City came out for the national anthem. Some of them kneeled. The Houston Texans didn't come out until after the anthem. So they made a little protest and didn't come out until after the American national anthem had played. And then they made a sort of general protest across the pitch to say they were all united for equality, and some of the fans seemed to be booing. So go figure, you know, people don't want equality in the United States, obviously.
But
that was maybe the BBC would be better suited over in the States. That was only real drawback, I think, of last night.
And that was a political broadcast there from Matthew. Matthew will be back next week to speak about Channel 4.
Eurotrash.
I'm not gonna say what, let's speak.
It's only channel thing I remember from Channel 4.
So let's speak about the US Open this week, Matthew. There's been a big story come out of that about Djokovic hitting the ball against Alain Juggs. And I don't know if you did because you said to me, but it was a bit surprised that he hit her.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the way I read the reports like everybody else, and it sounded like this aggressive tennis player had just randomly smashed the ball against like one of the people round the tennis court. So it sounded a lot worse than when you actually saw it, the video footage of it, because it did kind of look like an accident, and it was what it was. And he did seem concerned when the ball would actually hit them. I have looked at the video footage. I think the way it was reported was a bit overzealous against them. But obviously it cost them the match. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if it was another sport, it might have been forgiven a little bit, but tennis, maybe the umpires are a bit, overzealous with the rules and things like that. But it seemed a shame from what happened, and he did seem genuinely sorry for hitting them with the ball, and it did seem like an accident. But when you read the reports after it happened, it seemed like he just lost the plot and fired the ball at somebody.
I remember a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, I can't remember his name out, Kyriakos, the Australian player, he whacked a ball, and they meant it actually at the line jugs at Queen's Club, and you said you saw this woman's leg. It was a pure shame, you know. And eventually, he had to forfeit the game. Well, he had to be suspended, and he got fined, I think, as well. But yeah, I mean, when you saw in the telly, Matthew, he didn't really mean it in a way. Well, I don't think he meant it at all, because when you see his face, he wasn't like looking at the ball. If you know what I mean, I'm going to use the word fail, but maybe that's not the right word to use. And then the next minute, she was kind of hot in the face with the ball. And then the next minute, he ran over to say, "Are you okay?" And as if to say, you know, "I never saw it," you know, but he never saw it.
Yeah, no, I felt generally sorry for him. But I mean, these things happen, and there must have been a bit of a lead up to it that I maybe never noticed so much. But with that incident, I think it generally was an accident, and you know, these things do happen in tennis. I think there must have been something before it that was leading up to that, and maybe the judge thought it was a overzealous, angry thing, and that's why he did what he did. But I don't know. It didn't look that way in television, anyway.
Yeah, and also. Andy Murray is out of the US Open, but he did well to get to the second round. On the first round, I think we spoke about it on last week's show, that he came through 4 or 5 sets to win the game, so he did well. On the women's half of the draw, Serena Williams has went into the tournament hoping for a 24th Grand Slam singles title. But believe it or not, Matthew, 24, that's hard to believe.
I know.
Yeah, but she got beat last night. So while you were watching the NFL, she was actually getting beat on the semifinals, because I think it's coming up to the US Open final of the tennis now. I think the women's final might be on Sunday and stuff. So she get beat 6-3 in that game. So that's Serena Williams. And
look, it's a shame because there's so many sports at the moment. I'll probably miss that because I'll be watching the NFL, but it's good to have all the choices as to whether you want to watch tennis, whether you want to watch soccer, whether you want to watch NFL. With English football's back, obviously the rugby's on. There's quite a lot this weekend to watch.
Yeah, and also just talking about Andy Murray there. I don't know if you see that Andy Murray will be playing in 2 indoor tennis tournaments in Germany in October. Between the 11th to the 18th, and so that'll be good to see him back on our tour.
Yeah, and it'll be good for him to get a bit of match practice again. So, I mean, obviously he's been out for quite a long time, and the US Open was maybe a bit too soon for him. Maybe he used it just to get a bit of fitness in, and you know, back to match sharpness. So these tournaments will help.
Yeah, so it's good to have sport back in general, Matthew.
Oh, definitely. And then obviously you've got the English football this weekend coming back as well. I know you're not keen on it because of Sky, but back this weekend.
I never say again anything like that. No. My lawyers will be on to you soon.
But I mean, that the English football obviously has a sort of just returned, and Liverpool when Man City will be probably renewing their sort of fight for the title, because I would suggest that Liverpool and Man City look like they're still going to be the teams to beat going into this season. Guardiola's obviously signed a few players. I think they've signed a defender, Aki from Bournemouth, who'll try and maybe fill a hole that they were missing last year. And they bought a few forward players in as well, and Liverpool haven't changed much, but they obviously are still good from last season. So I'd suggest that those two are probably the teams to beat. And then obviously the relegation battle could be the interesting one, because I'd say any team from maybe Leeds, Newcastle, West Ham, Sheffield United, Villa, Burnley, Brighton, Crystal Palace, West Brom or Fulham or Southampton could go down. So the relegation battle could be very interesting this year.
So it could be any of the teams in the Premiership.
Apart from Liverpool, Man City.
Yeah, and Man United asking for that, Arsenal, West Ham, but everybody else can go down. So that's Matthew's prediction that...
I think the bookies will accept that as a bet.
Yeah, just put the bet on all the teams could go down and you'll be guaranteed...
I'll be right three times.
Yeah, exactly. So if you've listened to the show and if you want to listen to it again, I don't know why you would, but there you go. You can check it out on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. That's a repeat of the show. But we're here every Friday night between 6 and 7 on the locker room, speaking about not only football, but other sports as well. NFL, tennis, golf, snooker, hide and seek.
Damien Duff.
Yeah. Well done, Mavs. You just kind of stopped me in my crack there. Well done. That was funny, actually. We better go, just in case we get into any more bother. So you can find us on Facebook as well, or you can email us as well. Keep it here on Indie Live Radio, more music and brilliant presenters coming your way. Enjoy your weekend and we'll see you soon here on Indie Live Radio.
Bye everybody.